ladies and gentlemen. Today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome, movie fans. You're listening to the Underwatchables, your periodical crappy movie podcast. For regular listeners of the Undebeatables, we'll just put this warning up front. There will be no basketball talk in this. This is going to be episode 2. We're going to talk about what I think is going to go down in the annals of history as a cinematic masterpiece, Jurassic World. Just to set the stage again, for the people that are listening, our goal here is to convince our good friend and your Undebeatables host, Joey Gufreda, that this movie is worth sitting in a theater and watching. And we need to do that because Joey is one of the weird individuals in the world that does not watch movies.
Does not watch movies.
Doesn't watch them. Patently un-American.
Ooh. I did spend some time out of the country, just different points in my life, which may have affected my movie going.
Hmm.
That's no excuse, sir.
I don't know. A lot of bad movies out there. A lot of bad movies.
Movies is the new reading, Joey.
Ooh. I'm listening.
It's the great American art form.
And I am your fearless host for the Undewatchables. My name is Jason Triplett. I'm also known as the Doctor. For some weird reason. Joining me to help me explain this awesome movie to Joey is Sean Coulson. We call him the bartender.
For some reason.
Also for some strange reason.
What is up, Pacer Nation, movie watching nation? I would like to shout out to dinosaurs everywhere.
Dinosaurs everywhere.
Dinosaurs.
That's right. Can't wait to talk about this movie. Let's get going.
Warning to the nerds, because we're going to refer to dinosaurs by the names that we learned them when we were like 5 or 6. And I know that they've all changed now because we've learned more things and we've renamed and come up with new things. Like, for instance, there's pterodactyls in this movie.
Mm.
They're not called pterodactyls anymore. They're like pterodons or something. What? I'm going to call them pterodactyls and just chill out.
I didn't even know this was an issue.
Brontosauruses. In my mind, they still exist, and there's brontosaurus.
Those don't exist anymore? What's going
on?
Save
your angry emails. They renamed them to like something else. Yes.
What
committee was that?
Scientists. Stupid scientists.
Also the committee that made Pluto not a planet.
I'm thinking Neil deGrasse Tyson had a hand in this.
This is crap already. I'm angry.
This is good. We have an angry person and a person that hates movies. So
podcast gold.
Okay, so everybody remembers the 1994 classic Jurassic Park, based on the Michael Crichton book of the same name that I read voraciously as a 12-year-old or something and loved. And they turned it into this awesome movie where they CGI'd dinosaurs.
When CGI wasn't a thing yet. Like they
invented
CGI essentially for this movie. It was the highest grossing movie of all time when it came out. Revolutionized the way that we do special effects. Big ass deal. Steven Spielberg killing it.
And just an awesome movie, right? Like,
oh, very good movie.
Sam Elliott, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldberg, Bloom. Jeff Goldblum, is that his name?
Yeah. Being the weird scientist dude.
The chaos mathematician.
Just the dude he is in every movie.
And the concept of the book and the movie is just this amazing concept that, you know, some rich guy decides that he's going to harness DNA technology, basically, to reanimate dinosaurs. Extinct animals. And so if you're going to reanimate an extinct animal, go for dinosaurs, because they're the freaking coolest, right? Inherently wrong in this logic is the fact that dinosaurs are killing machines.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the whole system goes awry. You've all seen the movie that the T-Rex chases the kids in the car. It eats the guy off the toilet. amazing things.
Great moments in that movie with the velociraptors in the kitchen. Oh, God. Yeah.
So, of course, the people escape somehow from that island. This movie, as you mentioned, John, made gajillions of dollars.
Yep.
So, of course, they made like massive remakes of this to try to capitalize on that.
So they had Jurassic Park 2, which brought back some of the characters, didn't it? I don't know. Maybe none of them.
I didn't actually see the movies. I read the books,
Park 3 brought back, I think, the Sam... It's not Sam Elliott, is it?
Something like that, isn't it? Sam Neill. Okay.
Brought him back for the third one. And they were all okay. It was just fine movies. There were some nice moments in them.
Sure.
You know, dinosaurs are cool.
But the idea, the iterative idea is that this rich bastard or rich people constantly have this technology and they're like, we should make a shitload of money off of this.
Right. Despite the fact that it's a terrible idea and people will end up dying.
It's a horrible fucking idea.
Right.
All right. So now it's 2015.
So 22 years after the original movie, right?
Right. They found another tropical island that they're going to turn into a dinosaur theme world.
No, it's the same. It's the same island.
I thought they blew the island up.
Well, so the issue is they find the old place.
Oh, you're right. So it is the same island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So it's the same island. Okay. Yeah. You're right. We're on the same island. New ownership now, but they've sort of perfected the craft of being a dinosaur theme park, right? They have everything well managed. They figured out, like they have cool things like a little baby dinosaur petting zoo where the kids can go in there and play around with little baby dinosaurs because they're not dangerous. They have these, like, awesome open paddocks where you can get in these gyroscope ball things and sort of roam around the fields with brontosauri and whatnot. They have this cool... They reanimated this... Megalodon or something like that, which is this huge fish-like dinosaur that's like bigger than a blue whale. You're not impressed by this at all, Joey. Okay, so
it sounds cool.
Okay,
but I don't know. Something I feel like something's gonna go wrong.
Something might go wrong, Joey, and that's right. But the team is steadfast that they have it totally figured out, right? Similar to the first Jurassic Park, they wanted to bring in a kid element to this thing, right? So one of the great things in the first one is the owner's grandkids come to exhibit the park because that's the target audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's sort of the operations director of the park. Her long-lost sister's kids are coming to visit or something like that. So people that she has a loose attachment to somehow. But they come, and then she sort of ignores them.
There's been no mention of a romantic element. I'm assuming this is a movie, so you need to have a romance story.
Oh, we'll get to that. Don't
okay. Worry. I'm just, want to make sure this is a real movie.
So the operations officer. So
Dallas somebody.
Dallas Bryce Henderson or something like that?
That's really, that can't be her name. That's made up. Actually, doesn't everybody make up their names for Hollywood now? Isn't that what they do?
Diamond Dallas Page, right?
It could be Diamond Dallas.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay, yeah, we were close.
Redhead. Kyle's big comment on this is that she wore high heels throughout the movie.
Whole movie.
Kyle
drove,
did?
Yeah, it drove... No.
You just take them off.
Yeah, no, it drove Kyle nuts. She was like, how is she still in high heels? Like, she's being chased by dinosaurs, she's still in high heels. You know, whatever.
All right, so should we get to the point where stuff starts breaking down, or...
Also, I do want to at some point mention my history with Jurassic.
Oh, why don't you do that now?
Oh, yeah, please.
Well, so Jason, like you, I was around 12 years old, around that age, and I was a huge, huge fan of the books. I read those like crazy. I read the second one for sure, and if there's a third book, I probably read that. But when I could not believe that they were going to make a movie. I was so excited. I definitely saw that in the theaters and loved it. I love those books too. And I remember seeing the second movie, I think it was the second one, where somehow, I was pretty disturbed because the plot of the book and the plot of the movie were unrelated, or they were related yes. for a few minutes and then quickly diverged mm-hmm. into different things.
Yep. I remember that being an issue.
And I, as being a fan of the book, I didn't like that. And then at some point, there were like dinosaurs, I think, cruising around L.A., like just, which didn't make any sense at all.
Sure. Yeah.
Not even a little bit. But I guess, you know.
So it became like King Kong, right? Jurassic, T Rex is running around. Yeah. Godzilla, yeah.
Yeah. I liked the story of the other ones, and I liked the, you know, I liked all that world, and then just like dropped it. It turned into like a disaster movie, where a city's getting blown up instead of like people. You know, I want to see people being
eaten. You want to see people being eaten
right
off of toilets
instead of cities burning.
Gotcha.
Right.
Because ultimately, this is a disaster movie. Right.
It, like, was the plot a disaster?
Now, was Jurassic World a book first? Was this a Crichton book?
I don't think
this,
so.
Was this, okay. No.
I think this is all straight screenplay situation.
So, since you liked the world that Michael Crichton created, you might like Jurassic World, Joey.
I might.
Good sell.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got the park scene going on. We have Bryce Dallas Howard, our attractive female lead, and her nephews have come to visit.
Yeah, young, vulnerable children.
Show them around the park or whatever. But she's a busy lady, so she just has her assistant sort of take them on the rides or whatever. Meanwhile, she has to check in with like the main CEO guy because he's like, yo, I need to know what's up with my new dinosaur exhibit. We need to get this thing open because it's going to be a cash cow. And let's go check it out. And she's like, all right, cool. Let's go to this paddock where this, like, cool new thing is. And they go to this paddock, and it's, like, this T-Rex. It's a new T-Rex, basically.
So, no. Okay, first of all, Jason, let me... This is my main problem with this movie.
Okay.
Good. So I've got lots of problems with the movies, but this is my main problem with the movies. Dinosaurs are scary as shit, right? They are just this. They're things that were huge and had sharp claws and teeth and were killing machines long before we ever lived. If we lived at the same time as dinosaurs, we would not have survived, right? And so these are the things of fascination for small children and fear of small children. Everybody loves freaking dinosaurs. So why are not dinosaurs scary enough? We had to invent a new dinosaur that doesn't really exist.
Well, and I'll tell you why, and I think they address this in the movie, because kids these days, as we were discussing offline earlier, are dumb. And they're not impressed by things like this, right? So the kid, there's two kids. There's like a boy.
A T-Rex is super scary.
So these are like dinosaurs for the internet age, right?
Right.
So they had to create a genetically modified T-Rex, essentially.
Right. Remember, there's like the scenes where the kids. So there's one kid that's like 10 or something, and he's totally into dinosaurs because he's a young kid.
Right.
And then there's like the, you know, brooding teenager guy, and he's totally over it. He's like, no. They're in a freaking petting zoo with dinosaurs. They literally can touch dinosaurs.
Right.
And the teenage kid is like, bleh.
This is lame.
So lame. I'm going to stare at this girl for a while.
I'd like to talk to girls.
Yeah. So that's why they had to create it, right? Because, come on.
I don't know. I mean, I see what they're doing.
The motivation of the theme park, is that you have to make the next greatest...
The next greatest thing, right.
Attraction.
And so this dinosaur is called the Indominus, right? And it's a T-Rex plus a bunch of stuff that we're not sure what it's connected to. That's part of the drama of the movie, right?
Yeah, kind of.
We don't So they created a T-Rex out of nothing.
No.
But
no.
Then they added other things to it.
But they don't know what they added to it?
No.
No, they know.
They know, but they can't tell us.
It's
a secret.
All right. Okay. It's a secret sauce.
They added like DNA, goo.
It turns out that they kind of know. They don't really know. Right. But like in the first one, right, there's this whole scientific thing where they're like, well, we extracted the DNA from mosquitoes that were, you know, embedded in amber or whatever, but we couldn't replicate the whole genome. So we had to fill in some gaps with amphibian DNA.
Right. Which was their undoing.
Which is why life finds a way, right?
So in this case, they want to make this beast a little bit, you know, fiercer or whatever. So they add a bit of raptor DNA, and they add a bit of, my favorite was a little bit of cuttlefish DNA.
Oh, yeah.
Which allows the dinosaur to blend into its surroundings. It now has camouflage.
I tell you what, though, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Right. But they didn't add the cuttlefish DNA to allow it to have camouflage. They added it for another reason, which I'm blanking on right now. But weirdly, they have all this DNA technology, but they couldn't add only the genes that they wanted to convey this one characteristic and not the camouflage genes. Right. They just had to throw them all in there.
Now, my favorite character from this movie is B.D. Wong from the Law & Order, SVU. He's the psychiatrist on TV, and he does a very nice job, I think, of being the evil mad scientist.
Well, and he's the same mad scientist, the Asian guy from the original movie. He plays Henry Wu.
Oh, yeah, was he?
Who's the guy that did
it. I didn't realize.
So that's the same guy.
I didn't realize that.
Joey, if you remember. Okay. You're staring at me like I'm an idiot.
But it's been a while.
Okay.
I did see... I did not mention... Full disclosure, I did see Jurassic Park when they added three dimensions to it a couple of years ago.
Oh, cool.
Which was okay. It was not shot in 3D, so...
Right.
But it was cool.
Okay, and then let's introduce I have two favorite characters, I guess, in this. The first of which is Chris Pratt, sort of an animal wrangler. He's the rebel guy. He's there for the dinosaurs, man. He wants to learn about the dinosaurs.
That's right.
And he's doing this weird thing where he's like training velociraptors to follow his commands, right? So he's like taught them somehow, you know, to chase things and to stop on his command, and you know.
Well, he's been with them since they were born.
Yeah, he like imprinted on them.
Imprinted on him as the alpha male, right? So he's the alpha. They're pack animals. He's in charge.
Right.
On some level, he's still human, and they will eat him if they get pissed at him. But he has some sort of ability over them, some control.
I mean, he's like a lion tamer, kind of, almost, or whatever.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And then my second favorite character, another Law & Order guy, Criminal Intent, I think, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, yeah, he
plays
does a great
this
job.
Military guy, or military contractor guy, who he's really interested in velociraptors in terms of weaponizing them, basically. He's like, oh, yeah, now that you can train them, we've been kind of working on some things that we think we could apply to these velociraptors, and we could turn... They're the ultimate killing machines. We can send them into caves.
Yeah, just...
We would have got bin Laden like that. You know, like, this is basically his argument.
This is like sharks with lasers, right?
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, they really are ultimate killing machines. They're incredible. They're terrifying. You just unleash them on a populace, and, you know, they'll kill everything in sight. So it's a great idea. If you like death and, you know... things mauled. It's a great idea.
If that's your job, like, to make those things happen, then...
Sure. Okay.
So all of this is believable outside of the fact that they're living dinosaurs, but outside of
except
that...
Except for the entire premise.
Pretty... Right. Outside of that, it all makes sense.
I'm following you.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's get to... Things start breaking down. Somehow, it's thought that the Indominus... dinosaur has escaped its paddock somehow.
Right. Because it's It's blending.
Yeah, so somebody goes there to look at it. Maybe like the CEO guy. They're like, where is it? I can't see it. And there's like scrapes on the wall, and they're like, oh shit, it's gone. So then they bring in Chris Pratt, and he's like,
and a bunch of like people, right? I mean, or it was just a few people.
Just a few people at that point. And they're like,
right, and they all die except Chris Pratt, because the dinosaur is actually in there. He's just been hiding. He faked his own escape. He's outsmarted everyone. I mean, this is the other thing, right? You've got to remember that somehow in this whole process, this manufactured dinosaur has become incredibly smart. And it is outwitting the humans in this process. So it fakes its own escape. It waits till the humans come in and it eats them all. And Chris Pratt escapes by running out of the pen just in time and then covering himself in gasoline because the Indominus doesn't work on vision like the T-Rex. He also can smell things. So he has to cover himself in gasoline.
So
he's like,
he can't see, or
no, he can see, but you know how like they were able to escape the T-Rex by not moving?
Yes.
Or whatever. Isn't that from the first one? You can't do this with this guy.
I feel like wasn't that not true?
It's debatable, and like probably the T-Rex also had a super refined sense of smell.
Most of the animal
kingdom has an amazing sense of smell.
I mean, like, oh, that smells like a person covered in gasoline. Right, I'm going to go eat them.
Yeah. Right.
So now Indominus is loose.
He's escaped. He's free. Chris Pratt survived. Everybody else is dead, but he's free on the island.
And that's bad. Central Command is freaking out. They're like, what do we do? Should we shut down rides? And they're like, no, that'll cause a panic. I mean, maybe just don't let people go into this northern sector. And we'll send some guys in there with guns. We'll take it out. No problem.
So, Joey, what do you think happens to all the guys that they sent to find the military team?
Those guys are home with their families safe and sound.
That's right. Everything worked out great.
And then the roll credits, and then we're good, right? And now we're here.
Sure.
That's right.
Not what happened, Joey. Yeah, they all die.
Oh, no.
Did
anyone get to say clever girl?
But the whole time, like, Chris Pratt is, like, psychoanalyzing this dinosaur because he's like, you raised it by itself. And they're like, oh, no, it had a sister, but it ate the sister. So his whole thing is, like, this thing hasn't been socialized. You can't just go shoot at it. It's going to freak out and kill you. And that's exactly what happens, right? So he's like, oh, I'm right. And then the military guy is like, oh, we just need to let me get the velociraptors after him and we'll go get this dude. And they're like, no, shut up, dude. We're not weaponizing the velociraptors quite yet.
Lasers on their heads.
You can't solve all your problems with weaponized velociraptors.
That's exactly right.
I've learned the hard way.
And so then at this point, the Bryce Dallas Howard, our female lead character, suddenly becomes very worried about her estranged nephews that are now running around
the park.
She's like, oh crap, my nephews that my sister is, you know, wants me to be responsible for. She's like, come on, Chris Pratt, we gotta go get them, or whatever.
Well, because they've been missing for, what, half a day with an Indominus out there, and they were, they evacuated the park, but these kids were already in their little hamster bubble.
That's right. Mm.
Because you can be in a hamster bubble going through the park because you're protected there, except from a killing machine like the Indominus, which just rips through their hamster ball and almost.
Let me ask you: do the kids have cuttlefish DNA?
No.
Mm.
Not at all.
They're really obvious in the hamster ball. One of the problems with this new smart dinosaur too is that it doesn't kill for food. It kills for sport.
Mm.
So this is what makes it human-like, because in the animal kingdom... Well, the animal kingdom doesn't kill for sport, it kills for food, and so this thing's so smart.
You should tell it to my cat.
I didn't know that it was killing for fun. I thought part of the psychology was, like, it's just not socialized. It doesn't know... Maybe it's just got all this pent-up killing that it has to get done or something.
Well, there's that scene where they're looking over the field and there's just like dead brontosaurus everywhere.
And there's this real touching moment that the lead Claire or whatever is she has shown very little emotion so far in this movie. It's clear that she can't connect with other human beings, like that's her thing. But then she has this really touching moment where there's this brontosaurus and Chris Pratt is like trying to, you know, comfort it as it's basically dying. And then she, you know, goes over and touches the dinosaur and starts crying and, you know, whatever. Even though she's never seen any of these animals. She talks about the dinosaurs as assets or whatever, which really rubs Chris Pratt the wrong way.
So do you feel like you could get behind the Claire? Do you feel like Bryce Dallas Howard? Are you behind her? Are you behind Chris Pratt? Is it? Where are you feeling, Joey?
Well, I it's they do fall in love soon, right?
Not yet.
Good guess though.
I don't
still fair amount of attention. Has to happen. He's not buying it.
Okay.
Right. It has to happen eventually, though. You're right.
You haven't told me enough about them, but I know that they're, she's the evil corporate person, and he's the touchy-feely dinosaur lover. And
that's right.
And they're always arguing. And that's right.
They got to work out their sexual
tension out the wazoo.
Well, and in fact, they're in a little Jeep, and they're following, or they're trying to go through, they're trying to figure out where the kids are, right? And so they find this hole in a fence, and they're like, oh, they must have gone this way.
The kids find the old park,
the old like main building thing,
the original Jurassic Park, where the final battle between the Velociraptors and the T-Rex, all that happens. There was a lot of nice, in defense of this movie, there's wonderful allusions to the original Jurassic Park, lots of throwing back to it and trying to get some of the same magic from it. I thought it did a nice job, and one of those things is being in that hall. Yeah. And, it recalls a lot.
And they find the old Jeeps or whatever that they used to drive around. And somehow the kids are able to... The kids had watched their grandpa, like, rebuild a 67 Chevy or something like that. And so they're like, oh, yeah, we know how to do this. So they fix the car. And they drive back to the thing, right? It's a nice bonding moment between the kids.
Pretty straightforward.
And then...
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, Chris Pratt and the Bryce get there, and they're even he's like, I don't know how they did this. What did they do? And then somehow the Indominus is on them again at that point.
Yeah. Almost kills them again.
You get to see the Indominus. Does it just look like a bigger T-Rex?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big, scary
T-Rex. It's about the same size as a T-Rex, I think.
Okay.
Maybe slightly bigger, but...
Slightly bigger.
A little badder.
A little more badass.
Less forgiving.
And then somehow... So then they like, escape somehow from the Indominus. But then in the process, the Indominus runs through the aviary complex. Mm. Am I remembering this right, John?
Right. Yeah. And they all... And
all the pterodactyls are in this huge dome. They're, like, contained right in this dome. But now the dome has collapsed.
Oh, no.
Pterodactyls start flocking towards the main, like... Basically, they've closed off all the park and all the sort of park visitors are in this, like, you know, sort of shops area where they have all the shops.
Yeah, the Disneyland Main Street type thing.
And then all of a sudden, there's just pterodactyls just swooping in and like picking people up and dropping them and like killing them, and it's amazing. It's like pretty awesome, actually.
And at that point what's the Vincent D'Onofrio is like, all right, man, we've got to weaponize these velociraptors. I told you, we've got to go after this thing. And so they're like, yeah, okay.
Well, and then somehow the CEO dies at some point. I forget how. But so, and then D'Onofrio's like, there's nobody in control, so I'm in control. And he just, like, saunters into the main control room and is like...
So when you say weaponize these velociraptors, what do you mean by that?
Well, so they have this technology, they have, like, headsets, I guess, where they can put little headsets on them.
Oh.
and they can see, so they have cameras so they can see what the Velociraptor is seeing, but then they can also, like,
it's a GoPro,
stimulate them somehow to make them do what they want them to do.
Don't their eyes change color or something? I feel like
I forget the exact details. It wasn't too great.
So they can kind of control them.
That's the idea.
So yeah, they're basically
They're still wild animals, but yes, they have some.
They're basically like Velociraptor drones with GoPros. Like, that's
right.
Yeah, okay. Kinda. Yeah.
Tactical strike.
I think all you have to do is lead the alpha male, the head. There's a head Velociraptor.
You're Chris Pratt, right? We talked about this. Lead him.
Well, right. But it's not. There's also, like, so, Chris Pratt has a relationship with the older brother or whatever, and that's how they.
So they ship. Weaponized Chris Pratt.
No, the older brother
of Chris Pratt,
of all the Velociraptors,
of the oldest,
and but Chris Pratt's not around, right? So he's pissed that they're doing this when he finds out, right?
Right.
He doesn't want his friends to be weaponized,
right? So so before this happened, right? Actually, Chris Pratt, I forget how, but they all end up in the paddock or in the Disneyland Mall area, and there's pterodactyls, and Chris Pratt's shooting pterodactyls. And he shoots a pterodactyl and saves Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm. And then they just kiss, and it's on, right?
Oh.
Boom, romance, nailed it.
There we go. Called it.
So then they go to the control room. They're like, all right, we got to evacuate the area, right? We got to get these people on boats. And, you know, D'Onofrio's taking over this operation. And then there's actually a great scene where there's two, like, controller people or whatever. Nick from The New Girl. I don't know his actual name. Jake Johnson, maybe. And then a woman from other things I've seen. And so he thinks that there's, like, some sort of tension there, so he goes to kiss her, and she's like, I have a boyfriend, kind of thing. It was actually a nice like...
It was funny, and he does a lot of comic relief about the old movies, too. I feel like there's a couple scenes where he does some nice stuff. About how old stuff is cooler, and the original is always better than the sequel type stuff, type jokes. You know, it's good. It's good. I liked him.
Okay, and so they evacuate everybody. Oh, and then also he's like, I'm sticking around. Somebody's got to stick around, which didn't make any sense at all. He didn't have to stick around, but he did. Okay, so now they're going to go weaponize these Velociraptors and chase down the Indominus. That's their plan.
Right.
And so Chris Pratt's like, all right, I'm going to get on my motorcycle that I fixed up. And I'm going to...
If you're going to do this, I'll lead my team. Right? I'm not happy about it, but if you're going to do this without me, I want to be there for my team.
Right. And they're going to take a bunch of people with guns, too. And the idea is that the Velociraptors are going to sort of corner the Indominus, and then they'll shoot it down.
Right. Think of it as like treeing a bear or something.
Because you've done that. A million times.
So they're gonna tree the Indominus, and then we're gonna shoot it. That's the plan.
So they go racing off into the woods at a million miles an hour. They find the Indominus. They're like, or the raptors kind of slow down, and Chris Pratt's like, chill out. And then the raptors are like doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, they make contact with the Indominus, and it turns out that the Indominus. Now the alpha of the raptors.
Oh!
Because he's got boom. Raptor DNA.
Oh, so basically, snap.
Tables turned. Now they're coming back at the people.
Raptors kill everybody.
Man.
Yeah. That's the end of the movie, Joey.
What?
No.
No.
I don't know these days with your multi-movie deals that they have. I don't know. So he becomes king of the raptors.
That's right.
Right.
And
then they chase everybody back.
Oh.
They killed several people.
Right.
Many people die. It's a sad thing. But our main characters are still alive. The kids are still alive.
Oh, wow.
Chris Pratt's still alive.
Shocking.
Bryce Dallas Howard's still alive.
Well, they just kissed. They got to be alive.
I think that might be it. And the guy... maybe that's it. Bryce Dallas Howard has a great idea. She's like, I know what can beat the Indominus. What do you fight fire with, Joey? When you fight fire, what do you fight fire with?
guns, right?
Fire.
Oh, yeah, fire. Right. You fight fire with fire.
Fire with guns. Fire.
So
she has our man in the control room open up the T-Rex paddock.
Okay.
And she basically runs, has the T-Rex chase her into the plaza, like, because they can follow the lights. You remember that, like, from the first one? They have, like, she has a flare. And then she throws the flare at the Indominus, ensue T-Rex fight.
Oh.
Yes. So pretty intense.
Do the are the young people right? Are the T-Rexes, are they as boring as I remember them? Or are T-Rexes awesome?
Turns out T-Rex still awesome.
Oh, wow. So you got those little...
T-Rex still the hero arms, of the series.
Little yeah. arms.
Tiny arms.
Big
little
legs.
Arms. That's right.
So not a boxing match.
Huge
did I ever
mouth.
Did I ever tell you that I had a drink at the Libertine called T-Rex Making a Bed?
That was the name of the drink? Or was that a band you were in?
No. That literally was on the menu. It was called T-Rex
Making a Bed. What is a T-Rex Making a Bed?
It's a riff off of a painkiller, which is an island drink. It's a rum cocktail with pineapple. But the reason it's called a T-Rex Making a Bed is because it tastes freaking delicious, but it looks like sewage water. And part of our job is to make not only good tasting drinks, but nice looking drinks. And so I said it was kind of a failure, like a T-Rex making a bed. And everybody thought it was hysterical, and it tasted so good that it made the menu. So anyway, that's what that is. Have you ever seen a T-Rex make a bed?
Idea that a T-Rex would be very bad at making a bed?
Yes. Yeah.
They have tiny arms.
You can't make a bed. Yeah. You can't make the bed. You can't make a bed with tiny arms. You just can't do it.
Okay.
Take your word.
It's a failure. It's an utter failure.
Good.
Anyway, I digress.
You did digress. But so anyway, so then there's like a 15-minute fight scene between T-Rex and Indominus.
But so this is between two unweaponized dinosaurs.
Correct.
How did you not just walk out of the theater?
Because it was so boring?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, they're not weaponized, right?
No. Oh, yeah. And the Velociraptors at this point have shaken off the...
Yeah, what happened?
Things.
Oh.
Well, yeah, somehow Chris Pratt regained his alpha status or something. Can't remember how
but
that
they
happened.
Became...
Somebody got their head knocked.
De-weaponized. Okay.
Right.
So they're not helping...
That's right, and he unhooked it, right, or something.
Yeah, he unhooked it. They came
and so then the
life.
Main guy kind of turns on the Indominus.
Oh.
Like the head Velociraptor guy. Isn't that right? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No.
So he's part of the fight, too. It's a pretty intense fight. Now, here's I'm willing to admit this. My girlfriend, we leave the movie. She's super amped up. She's ready to talk about the huge 10-minute final fight scene between the Velociraptor, the Indominus, and the T-Rex. And I was like, yeah, I don't remember it. She's like, what happened? I was like, yeah, I fell asleep for the last 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. She was so appalled because she was like, that was the best part of the whole movie, that I came home and I figured out how to stream online some YouTube bullshit, small, weird version of it. I did not see that big fight on the big screen. I apologize.
Yeah, it's a big fail by you. Because that was pretty intense.
It was.
You
it was
saw pretty, as much I, of the I was, fight as I did.
It was good. It was good. I saw it. It was just on a, somebody had like videotaped it with their phone on a movie screen or something like that.
But then how does the fight end? The fight ends, T-Rex wins, right? He throws the dude into the water thing.
No. He's near the edge of the land, and the huge
monster
comes and eats him out of the water.
That's right. Megalodon comes and eats him.
Megalodon, right.
And then it's T-Rex's island, basically.
Right. Oh, Megalodon, the aquatic animal.
Yeah.
Eats him.
Yes. Jumps out of the water and eats him, and that's the end of him. That's the end of Insidious.
Oh, jeez.
And that's the end of the movie, basically.
Yep. That's the end. So, I only missed the end. Leave me alone.
So, what did we learn?
I think the biggest animal always wins, maybe? I don't know.
T-Rex is a badass? I don't know.
So, T-Rex...
T-Rex is still our hero?
T-Rex defeated... genetically modified.
I mean, the lesson as with the original Jurassic Park movie, is that man shouldn't try to control nature as aggressively as... that nature will always win, right?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so. But the whole problem was that, you know, man was messing with the DNAs.
That's right.
But I wonder, though, even in the old ones, you know, so they had to fill in some of the genome, right? Like, they had to, with yep. whatever they did. But if they just not needed that, or if they guessed correctly or whatever, would things have gone differently?
Or if they had put in, like, docile bits of
right
DNA.
Instead of, like, hyper-aggressive.
Like, they just sprinkled in a little Labrador Retriever.
Sure.
Right.
Something like that, right? Although that's a different... it's kind of mammals, but...
Right.
But I thought... I mean, overall, I mean, John, obviously you did not like the movie. You fell asleep, but...
No, it was the end of a long day, and I...
But know, I was entertained. I thought it was ridiculous.
Too. I enjoyed it.
But I was entertained.
Oh, it was, yeah.
But that's why I went to it. I went to it to see huge dinosaurs do crazy things. And and I got that, right?
I was underwhelmed by the love story. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty
manufactured. The character development was horrible.
Terrible. Yep. We didn't care about the kids. We didn't really care about any of the characters.
Nope.
Outside of Chris Pratt, maybe. And even then, he's kind of just... being Chris Pratt, and we want to root for him because he's the only likable character. I don't know. It was rough. You cared about the dinosaurs more than you cared about.
Oh, absolutely.
You were rooting for these Velociraptors as the heroes, and of course the T-Rex. So I don't know. Was it a big blockbuster, and we saw everything we needed to see out of that? On some level, sure, but you know. Joey, I think you should see it because it's a movie you should see in the theater.
Oh, that seems movie.
Because the thing is I watched The Big Exciting End on a computer screen and it wasn't as satisfying. So if you rent this one, you're not going to feel as good about it, I think.
No, I can see that. So in the plot of the Jurassic Park series, do the other movies matter to this one, or do you just have to know?
No.
Okay.
No, I think there are some allusions to the original first Jurassic Park, but you've seen them.
But right? Were there any? But were there like super clever
inside
jokes or homages to Jurassic Park 3, which I'm assuming existed?
No.
Did that exist?
Not that I know of. I mean, it did exist.
That did exist, but.
I don't know that right. I saw it, so I might have missed any inside jokes.
I think they talked about, you know, how many people had been mauled in previous iterations of the park type thing. I think they made fun of that.
Right.
Which is...
Why can't they keep making good movies? Why do we... It's like last time we did the Terminator, and we basically right. said, yeah, Terminator 1 and 2 were super good. Please skip the other ones and then watch this one for fun. Why can't right. they just... They have a bajillion and $7.
They well, because they don't right. need to, because idiots like Coulson and I will go see these movies, and they'll still make money.
Couldn't they find a writer with, like, you know, say, give them a couple weeks' pay and say, hey, we have a bunch of dinosaur fight scenes that are super cool. Can you just shoehorn in something that's, like, likable?
Right.
Well, I think what they did is they shoehorned Chris Pratt in there, who's the star right now in Hollywood. Everybody loves him, right? He's the big doofy guy on Parks and Rec. He was the star of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is made a bajillion dollars.
It's metric ass town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean that movie was like
also never saw
third all time in movie.
Never saw that movie.
Money or something like that. That's a great yeah. movie, Joey.
I never saw that
we
one.
We should yet. Probably do that one. Oh, we should probably do that one. That's a great movie. Chris Pratt is incredibly charming. He just is, damn it. And he deserves to lead movies. And apparently Velociraptor.
I mean, he was definitely the best thing in this movie, but even at that, I thought he was underwhelming. I didn't. Like you were saying, you pulled for him because, you know, whatever. He's like the most likable guy, but I wasn't really pulling for him. Like, I didn't really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
Like, if he would have died, I would have been like, all right.
That's true. They probably should have killed off all the characters at the end. That would have been way more interesting.
It would have been wild, right?
Yeah.
But then,
if you really want to talk about, you know, what's the lesson of this?
But then, no children can go see that movie.
Oh yeah.
So many people died in this movie.
Children get a pass.
But at least some people live, right?
Yeah. But if you want to make the lesson be don't screw with nature, just eat everyone.
Yeah. I agree.
So you're saying this movie only good on the big, big screen?
Yeah,
basically. You gotta feel the roars.
Well, and what I also didn't like is, like, in the first movie, they do such a good job of, like, there's all those scenes where they're, you know, sitting around the dining table and talking about the, you know, these things, the merits of having this park or reviving dinosaurs, or in this case, it could have been, you know, making chimeras with weird things, you know. There were not those discussions, at least not in a very eloquent manner, that got you engaged in, you know, the actual movie or caring about these characters in any way, right?
Yeah, there is something that you know, Spielberg is a storyteller, and you know, what he did with the original movie was tell that story. This movie is clearly wants to give homage to Spielberg, but doesn't know how to make a movie as good as he does. And so you're right. The way that they talked about stuff wasn't as interesting or as engaging as it was in the original movie. It's just kind of the nature of it. There's a reason Spielberg's the best in the biz.
True.
Not as easy as it looks.
Probably you're not going to see this, Joey.
Here's what I will do. I got my Jurassic Park memories kick back up, and what I do want to go do is go back and read the book, which I really enjoyed, you know, back at that age. And I think it's probably still, you know, as an adult, like a fun read. It's action packed, page turner, with frickin' dinosaurs, which are still cool.
Well, that's right. Good.
With frickin' dinosaurs.
Yeah. No lasers, you know. I'm old school, but I like my dinosaurs with no lasers.
And again, my problem with the whole plot, which is, why aren't dinosaurs scary enough? Why do we have to put lasers on their heads? Why do we have to invent...
It's because of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And what are the vampire movies the kids like?
Twilight.
The Twilight Zone. That one, they don't like that either.
You sound like such an old man.
So couple final notes. So the director of this movie had directed one movie before this. And he also wrote this. This guy, Colin Trevorrow. He's also slated to direct Star Wars Episode 9 in 2019. And he is currently writing an untitled Jurassic World sequel.
What? There was another question. Is this the beginning of a trilogy?
I don't know.
The answer is yes.
But probably.
How do you get Star Wars 9 if you've done nothing else? Like, I've got some real concerns now about that.
About Star Wars 9?
Yeah.
Well, I have concerns about Star Wars 7, so it's before we get there. But, yeah, I don't know.
All I know is that I'm going to like Star Wars 7 more than I like Star Wars 1. That's all I know.
Yeah, probably.
I've already decided that. Star Wars 1 is a terrible movie.
He was on board for Star Wars 1? J.J. Abrams? No.
Yeah, 7? Yeah.
It is J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams. Okay. Yeah. And he grew up watching the movies, and he did well
with the Star Treks.
The good news is they can just bump him off.
And it's got the original cast. It's going to be
great. They can bump your new young director if they don't like him.
True.
For 9. If Jurassic Park... Mark my words. If Jurassic World Park 2 bombs, he's off of Star Wars 9.
Right. Sure. You're making me feel better. Joey, you're not going to see this, but you're going to reread the books.
Man.
We've done a poor job talking you into these
movies. Well, they've done a poor job making the movies, I think.
Yeah, this is something we should add is how well these movies did at the box office. Because I have a feeling that the two movies that we did not do so well.
Is that true? Really?
Right. I think, yeah.
I mean, I think Jurassic World did fine, didn't it? I think
Terminator did not do so well at the box office.
Okay. The film generated $1.6 billion in box office revenue and set numerous records, including the biggest opening weekend in North America.
The Jurassic World?
Yeah. Yeah, the film became the third highest grossing film of all time in both North America and the world during its theatrical run. I think
they'll definitely do that
as well as the highest grossing film in the 2010s. Yeah. It's the highest grossing film in the Jurassic Park film series. And a sequel is already scheduled to be released June 22nd.
There's no way they're not making a sequel when it's whatever had the biggest opening weekend of all time.
Right.
Yeah. So,
what are they going to do? How long can they meet this out where humans just don't learn from their folly and they keep opening up dinosaur-based theme parks?
I mean, yeah, as long as we keep watching it.
Okay, so to summarize, go see Jurassic World in the theaters. If everybody else did, T-Rex fight scene. Joey's not going to see it, but he's going to reread the book. And that's a win for us. We win, yeah. Coulson.
Yeah.
All right. That's right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Underwatchables.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
I'd watch that movie.
America, Iron Man, and then like the Black Widow and whatever. So it was like a few,
and like Hawkeye,
and then they added a bunch for Avengers 2. Yeah, Hawkeye, and they added a bunch for Avengers 2. Like all the ancillary characters from all the other movies sort of show up. So like Don Cheadle is like the War Patriot. He's like an Iron Man character sort of type deal, and the Falcon, who's
Captain America's buddy. In Ant-Man,
and
yeah.
Right. Vision, which is basically sort of, I don't know, he's a computer alien. Anyway.
Computer alien.
They also, introduce Ant-Man. They're going to bring back Spider-Man, who's an Avenger. They're reintroducing that. They've got the Black Panther, which is one of the, I think he was the original black superhero, which is pretty cool. And he's going to be an Avenger. And then you've got Captain Marvel, which is like a real strong female character. She's going to head her own movie. And then I think you've got Doctor Strange or something like that, who is Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah. Sherlock.
The dude who is, yeah, Sherlock. So all those people get their individual movies. Oh, they'll God. All become Avengers. It's, yeah, it's quite the deal. So I'm super nerded out.
Very excited. Did you read all those comics when you were a kid?
No, I didn't. I read funny comics, so like, or whatever, Marmaduke. And then I was into
you read hella Garfield. You had all the Garfields.
I did. I had all the Garfields, and then I was also into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic. But yeah.
But then but so that was it. Yeah, I didn't. You've only been read. This is the movies. You really got into the movies. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I really got into the movies, and so I own them all. If anybody wants to watch them during UndebeataCon, we can watch. It takes about 30 hours at this point.
I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, and I enjoyed basically every one that I've seen. But there's definitely these weird, like you were saying, Joe. It's very impenetrable. I feel like I'm missing out on something.
Oh yeah,
because I'm not fully engaged in the series, right?
So. Because there's like there's so many things, and I'm assuming they're well written and they're like intertwined, and you know, there's all these plot things that it's like someone shows up and you're like, you know, I would look at it and be like, oh hey, so and so's in the room, and then you're losing your mind because that person saw that conversation or something,
right?
Well, so here's the deal. What I think they did is they caught up. So TV got better than movies. You know, basically, you've got these HBO series, you've got, Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or whatever. You've got these things that are making, like, great acting and great writing, and they're doing a series that you have to follow. It's like watching a really long movie. And it started outpacing movies. It was better than movies. And so Marvel came up with this idea, which is essentially, we'll just have a huge budget and do this sort of serial movie thing where all these movies are related, and you can watch them individually and they make sense, but if you watch all of them, they have a different story arc to you, and it's genius. It's absolutely genius, and I think they should do it forever, until my eyes bleed from watching.
Well, I mean, movies. They're going to do it until they stop printing money, so they'll be doing it for a while. I think it'll be in good shape.
Can those people talk to the Jurassic World people? So they can get better movies.
Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a freshly minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.